No more talking about rains. This is the part three of the thoughts on wild food and fairness that I share. But first, hello you all. You're tuning in to the 87th episode of the Audible Weed Walk. This is Nina welcoming you. Are healthy diets affordable? This is a very loaded question and globally a much discussed topic in the recent weeks since the publication of the United Nations report, I think a few weeks back, on 2020 report on state of the food security and nutrition in the world. I'm not expecting people who are really struggling to put food on their plates to be listening to this podcast, but shouldn't we all be bothered about them also, so the situation can be understood better for all? Does this food insecurity only affect the poor? You might be surprised. Well, listen on. Food security is a basic human need, but 2 in 5 people across the world, I find that figure astounding, that comes to about 3 billion people who cannot afford a healthy diet. And half of them live in Asia, a third of them in African nation. Less discussed, but an increasing trend of food insecurity and hunger is also present in the so-called developed nations. Diet costs have risen in the recent months, with food price inflation above 5% in many countries. One of the key causes of this trend is identified as COVID-19. But it is not always the case, or rather, not the entire truth. In India, for example, the food inflation was 3.7% in 2021, which is well into the pandemics. But in 2022, this number went up to 8% in the first half of the year and currently stands at 9%. This is according to Nomura report, which reports globally. The causes that are much highlighted are COVID-19 within the country and elsewhere, disruption of supply chain due to the war in Ukraine. The third is mentioned but less discussed is the erratic weather events. In India, much of the vegetables were destroyed due to the unprecedented heat wave in the country. If you remember, there was a grain and produce loss due to excessive rain in some parts of India not so long back. Ultimately, rain has affected fruit harvest also this year. So yes, the third and the primary factor we talk little about and do even less is climate change. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that India banned export of wheat to try to control the prices of the grains, though it is not a total ban. Those who already were ready to export were allowed to do so. Also, much of the price increase has been due to the increased price of edible oil. India imports most of its edible oil, and the price increase is attributed to the disruption of the supply chain. This has possibly a far-reaching impact on biodiversity. Even normally, India is the largest importer of the Indonesian palm oil, which is creating havoc to the biodiversity and survival of orangutans in the wild. Now, on a sudden switch for a different variety or sources of oil, who would India turn to? And at what cost to the biodiversity? No one quite knows. One of the reasons I always highlight in my foodie posts on Instagram or Facebook is the use of local and indigenous oil, sesame, mustard, other local grains, and coconut. All of them are environmentally, not necessarily always environmentally sustainable, but using unrefined local oil is a step forward towards that. Now, what can be done? What are the experts thinking? Where do the wild weedy plants play a role? What can you and I do? Well, let's look at the topic of healthy diet. A healthy diet is much more than a bunch of calories. We need a wide range of nutrient-dense food to get all the vitamins and minerals that are essential for good health. I recently read about how a dietitian defines this. The most basic is energy adequate diet. enough calories needed to have an active, healthy life. But it does not give enough nutrients. So the next best thing is the nutrient adequate diet, in which it gives enough nutrients to address any deficiencies or excesses. No, this is not also the best diet. According to the guidelines, nutrient adequate diet is not complete enough for a long-term well-being. According to the dietary experts, the next best thing is the healthy diet based on food group recommendations. But doesn't it all sound like a little jargonish? It almost sounds like, you know, human beings are treated in such narratives as experiment, this much to survive, this much to not to fall sick. And finally, healthy living is defined by the food groups. They sound so disconnected from the soil, from the earth, from sustainability. Sustainable Development Goal, in its very second objective, has zero hunger as its aim, which it has not achieved. Now the new target is 2030. But really, can the earth be healthy if the plants and animals, the soil and biodiversity are not healthy as well? Can people be healthy without it? In a few of my previous podcasts, I have discussed various diet plans and how plan-wise, they are actually very similar. Moreover, the world food trade, politics, farm, loans, debt, what is grown, export-import, are all heavily dependent on a few grains. And within those grains, only a few varieties. In fact, actually, I think it's 5 to 7 grains that are internationally traded and not more. And we have thousands, scores of food grains across the world. All these grains that are traded mostly are carbohydrate rich, which some amount of carb, you know, we have, you know, in my previous, some of my previous podcasts also have covered this, while some amount of carbs are totally unavoidable and also necessary for adults also, especially when they're involved in the manual work. But as we know, adults do not need a whole lot of carbs. Children do because they are still growing. So those carbs that children need and some amount that adults also needs, can't they be provided from local grains like millets and tubers primarily? The idea is not so radical as to eliminate the world trade on food grains altogether, but depend less on them. Concentrate more on diversity, which is the only thing that provides strength and resilience, not just in our economy, but also in our health and health of the planet. Now, the recent report says 3 billion people cannot afford healthy diet, even if they spend most of their income on food. If you look at the map of where these countries are located, you will find that most of them are located in the tropics. Imagine where round the year there is sunshine. There are countries which are able to grow in a narrow season or do not even grow much food, they are not where most of the hungry people are located. Of course, the tropics are also have more population. There are less, there are likely less people in the countries which are, you know, have a strong winter or have narrow growing season. But surely, tropical countries rich in biodiversity and rich in diverse food sources holds a major share in also experiencing hunger, food shortage, lack of affordable food. There's such an irony in that. The solution is not a GMO rice or wheat. You know, that is often, you know, purported as one of the possible solutions. It has, you know, GMOs like that, you know, we had this golden rice and then South America was, you know, provided colored tortillas, which has several issues, including making nutritious food less accessible and manageable by people. That itself is problematic. You know where I'm going with this, right? Grains like millets and tubers, some wild weedy ones, can be encouraged to grow so that people have increased accessibility to this healthy, nutritious food? Like India has experienced a bad year for vegetable production due to heat wave, can that be some somewhat be countered by focusing on increasing awareness, nurturing and sourcing wild weedy greens from the safe and healthy places to supplement. Most of them are micronutrient rich also. So such a switch to a cheaper option may even be healthier. Actually, they are not quite cheap. You know, it can be actually free option also. Can there be a policy to encourage growing food in personal and public and community spaces so that people can get the skills, be more aware, be more appreciative, be part of the solution, and able to access food at little or no cost? If food prices are increasing, weedy wild green, nurtured and tended by the community and distributed among themselves at zero cost, is still possible with some support, right? You would think those are obvious solutions. But the reality is, biodiverse regions have the greatest food insecurities. Are these insecurities created? Perhaps some are. As the director of Agriculture Research and Training Institute under the government of Sri Lanka, very recently in an online seminar, said that his country was persuaded to be blind. Persuaded to be blind is, you know, that choice of words, it's such othering responsibility. Blind about not having thinking about food security, growing some amount of food that could see them through the times of crisis when imports are impossible. What an awfully convenient way to shrug off the responsibility of many people suffering the consequences and causing instability that comes along with the food insecurity to the entire region and the subcontinent. For healthy people, we need a healthy planet and a healthy food policy. Policy and action where local and diverse food is celebrated. Wilderness can be conserved and wild food can be nurtured by the locals for their own food and nutrition first, as they have done for centuries. Important that wild and weedy plants in the urban areas outside the conserved and in the rural areas which are outside the conservation areas are also recognized, tended, provided a safe place and accessed equitably. While the chief economist of FAO, in responding to a query, highlighted that both extremes, all local food sourcing and all globals, are bad, I could not help thinking that comparison is unfair. For so long and so much effort has been put into globalized food supply, to centralize food distribution, to make a production a business decision rather than the decision about health and nutrition of the people and planet. It is time perhaps to think about focusing on local for some time. Let's take a pause and think about it. I will see you next week. Until then, stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.